The season of Epiphany shows us all the ways that Jesus' identity is manifested to us in the stories of Scripture. Epiphany reveals who Jesus is, beginning with the three magi bringing gifts to the Christ child in the manger, and then with Jesus' baptism by John in the River Jordan, when Jesus sees the heavens torn apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him, and God's voice speaking and saying to him, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." We'll hear a section of that passage again next week for the first Sunday of Lent. And then this Epiphany season, we continued and heard the stories of Jesus' calling of his disciples, of his amazing teaching and the power of his healing, finally culminating today on this last Sunday of the Epiphany season with the Gospel of Mark's version of the story of the Transfiguration, this mountaintop moment when Jesus is transformed in front of three of his disciples, and God's voice again speaks from the heavens to name Jesus as beloved Son, and to tell his disciples to listen to him. There is a lot going on in this short gospel passage. The writer of Mark's gospel packs a lot of symbolism into the story, and some biblical scholars think that this was to reach as wide an audience as possible, so that readers and hearers of this story in the ancient world, whether they practiced Judaism or Hellenistic religions, would be able to understand that Jesus' transformation on the mountain was an epiphany, a revealing and manifestation of his divinity. The Transfiguration also occurs in the middle of Mark's gospel. So structurally, it acts as this kind of climactic moment in the text. In the first half of the gospel, we travel with Jesus and the disciples as Jesus' identity is revealed to us gradually in his teaching and healing. It's like we're slowly climbing the mountain in those first eight chapters. Then there's this incredible transformation, this transfiguration on the mountaintop. And then, in the second half of the gospel, we travel back down the mountain to Jerusalem, to the cross, the tomb, the resurrection. So this transfiguration at the center of Mark's gospel can be seen both as a foreshadowing of the resurrection to come and a revelation, an epiphany, of who Jesus is and has been all along, both the earthly rabbi and healer and the heavenly Son of God. One way of approaching Scripture, of praying with Scripture, is to imagine ourselves in the story. So this morning, let's take a moment to try to enter this very rich gospel passage and imagine it as if we are there, kind of like a fourth disciple. We begin with Jesus leading us up a mountain, which is normal because we know he frequently goes out to quiet wilderness places like mountains to pray, sometimes by himself and sometimes with others. But this time, when we get to the top of the mountain, Jesus is suddenly transfigured, transformed in front of us, so that even his clothing becomes dazzlingly bright white, so bright that it is difficult for us to even look at him. Thinking about that kind of brightness, like this week with the sunshine hitting off the snow, it's almost blinding. And then there are suddenly two people with Jesus, and somehow we recognize that they are Elijah and Moses, And Jesus is having a chat with them, and we can't hear what they're saying. I really wish Mark had included that part. But we understand that the presence of Elijah and Moses connects Jesus with these incredibly important figures in the Jewish tradition who have already been taken up into heaven. And at this point, we are just frightened out of our wits. And Peter, God bless him, he always has to say something. And sure enough, Peter cannot stand the awkwardness of this moment, and he blurts out, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." As if we were celebrating one of our Jewish festivals, or making a shrine or a camping site or something. And then, as if all this were not enough, a cloud gathers above us, and God's voice comes out of the cloud, and we remember that God also appeared as cloud and shadow to lead the Israelite people to freedom in the salvation stories of Exodus. And there's this interplay of the holiness of the brightness of Jesus' appearance and the holiness of the darkness of the cloud. And God's voice speaks to the disciples, speaks to us, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And then, just as suddenly as it began, it is over. And we are here, alone once again, with Jesus as he normally looks. And we have to go back down the mountain. Jesus hasn't spoken to us this entire time, which is a little weird for him. And now he tells us not to say anything to anyone about what we saw, to keep this amazing thing a secret until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Wow. This is a lot to take in. We can imagine that the disciples in this story must have been so unsettled, confused, amazed, left with so many questions. Questions like, who is Jesus? Who is this person they have been following? After this incredible, life-changing experience on the mountaintop, how do they go back to following him? How are they to interpret what they have witnessed, and how will this change their lives? Maybe after exploring this story, we are left with questions too. In fact, the story of the Transfiguration brings us some wonderful questions to ponder as we prepare to begin the season of Lent, starting this week on Ash Wednesday. How does the Transfiguration speak into our own faith journeys? How is this a difficult or puzzling story for us? Who is Jesus to us, for us, in our own lives? Have there been times when we thought we knew who he was, but then something happened, and our ideas or relationship or view of Jesus changed? What was that like? How has Jesus revealed himself to us? As teacher? Savior? Messiah? Lamb of God? Son of Man? Revolutionary? Companion? Fellow sufferer, resurrected one, bringer of new life out of death. Who do we say that Jesus is? God's voice from the cloud tells the disciples to listen to Jesus. This leads us to another great Lenten question. How are we being called to listen to Jesus in our own lives and in our own world today? What does listening to Jesus look like for us? We are invited into this listening together here at Grace Church in a number of ways this Lent. Through small groups on racial justice and holy listening, and through listening for God's voice in our regular Sunday worship, and through prayer together on Tuesday evenings. As they are coming back down the mountain, Jesus tells the disciples not to share what they have seen until after the resurrection. Today we stand at about 2,000 years after the resurrection, so we do not need to keep the secret anymore. Jesus is inviting us to share what we have seen and known of him. Who do we say Jesus is? How has Jesus revealed himself to us in our lives? How do we listen to him? As we leave the season of Epiphany and travel together toward and through Lent and Holy Week, may this story of the Transfiguration spur us to imagination and wonder at who Jesus is, to sharing what we have experienced of his love and his work in the world, and to listening together for Jesus' call to follow him. Amen.